Yo, have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. How do I record an episode? How do I get my show onto all the apps that people like to listen to? How do you make money? The answer was pretty simple for me. I started using Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and super easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise in your podcast. So that means you can get paid immediately, like right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading you this ad. It's super simple. So if you always wanted to start a podcast, let's start now. Go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of producers using Anchor. Again, that's anchor.fm/start. See you soon. What's up, everybody? And welcome back to the Stretch 4 podcast. I'm your host, Peter Tran, and on the line, I got my pick and pop partner, Josh Cohen. How you doing?
Not great. You know, Raptors losing that game just killed my spirit, but how are you doing?
I'm good, man. You're going to hear a lot of background noise from me. I'm at a train station in Portugal. Hence why we haven't done this in a while.
Humble brag.
Just a subtle flex. You know what it is. Banger in the paint, Rajan Walia. How you feeling?
I'm still angry about game two, but I know we're going to get into that.
Let's do it right now then, man. Go ahead. Raptors basically blew the game after an 18-0 run by Golden State, and everything just went to hell after that. So why don't you just give a quick synopsis?
Well, when you win three quarters and you pretty much outplay the other team in terms of just like actually playing defense and winning three quarters, and they're at home and everyone played like relatively well. Like some players maybe didn't play as well, like Kyle Lowry and Serge Ibaka. Like you have to take advantage of that. And it just seemed like a blown opportunity. Like when they look back at this series, this was a game that they should have had and they were right in it till the end. And I know we can talk a little about the reffing and kind of some of their strategy, but at the end of the day, that third quarter really was the difference in the game.
Yeah, who in the NBA thought it was a good idea to put Scott Foster, Ed Malloy, and 20 Brothers together? I mean, those guys are the biggest attention whores in the NBA, and you put them all in the same game? Like, come on. Like, yeah. You could tell, especially in the fourth quarter when they were reviewing that play, like, deep in the fourth, when they were staring at the cameras instead of at the monitors, when they were, like, when the replay came back on, they didn't even turn around. They're still staring at the cameras trying to get their airtime. It was embarrassing.
That was amazing.
And the first half was just awful. Oh my God. Some of the calls they were making, like they were falling for every single little flop that Golden State was doing. It was awful. But that's not the reason why the Raptors lost, obviously, but it sure as hell didn't help.
It's a contributing factor, but no, it did not help. And that wasn't the sole reason. The Raptors blew it on their own.
Yeah, I think when they look back at the film, they're gonna say that like in the first half, Golden State got majority of the calls, like very light ones, like a few like calls that should have been the other way that they just got. But in the second half, they were the ones that were really the beneficiaries of some poor officiating, and that really kept them in it, or Golden State probably would have ran away with the game. And like, I think that the Raptors are going to look at this game and say, most of our players played well. Some of Golden State's like key men, like Klay Thompson and Steph, were really hot in the first, and they did a very good job of like slowing them down in the second. But I really want to talk about kind of game plan going forward, and I think there's some disagreement here. But I don't really think the Raptors should focus on doubling Steph as much as they did, because it just led to two easy baskets.
You are absolutely insane.
Yeah, you're literally the only person who thinks this in the world.
Because if you think about it, like Klay Thompson's not going to be right even if he plays. Like a hamstring strain normally keeps a player out for at least 5 games, which is a 2-week span, right? And he's a guy who runs around more than anybody in the NBA besides Stephen Curry. So if you take him out of the equation, you're not going to get 20 points from Quinn Cook. So your best option is to make sure Steph Curry doesn't go for 40. So I think Toronto's defensive game plan is smart and it's working. Their issue is with Draymond Green, I think, and slowing him down in transition especially, but also on those like those cuts where Golden State is running their two-man action off the ball. And if Kawhi Leonard's on Draymond Green, it just hasn't worked for us so far because he keeps getting lost off the ball, which I'm not going to blame Kawhi for because he has a lot of work to do on both ends of the court, obviously. But they got to get Kawhi away from Draymond.
You got to put Pascal on him now, right? Because Kawhi is too hurt right now, too. You can see it. When he's not even moving even closer, right? He's so hobbled, and he's not going to be able to run with Draymond. Draymond's going to get easy coast-to-coast layups every time, if not setting up the offense for them. So if you put Pascal on him, at least you have someone who's going to run the floor with him.
Yeah, I think they probably can use Kawhi in a better situation. I think a great matchup would be if they put Kawhi on Clay and just kind of like took him out, especially because these both players are probably both not at their healthiest. I think that they can really neutralize Clay, and then you're really hoping that Steph Curry isn't going to go for like 60 points. But I still think they paid too much attention to Curry in the game, and that resulted in a lot of easy points for Golden State. And I know Steph Curry's the best shooter ever, and he shoots probably even 45% on contested threes, and like a good NBA shooter shoots like 35. But I would live with him going 6 or 7 for 12 on three-pointers, then giving up a bunch of layups to Andrew Bogut, Jarebko, a few backdoors to Clay. Like, I think the 18-0 run, I don't even think Steph was the one that was really leading that run. It was just a bunch of role players for Golden State.
So loud.
No, tell them to shut up. You're doing an important podcast here, okay?
Oh, this is the finals.
Oh, seriously.
Anyways, it is Draymond, but he's the one like starting the plays for everyone else, right?
Yeah, but I think I want to get back to this. I think that what they're doing is they're running a lot of two-man game with like pick and roll with Steph and Draymond, and because the Raps are trapping Steph so hard and paying so much attention, Steph's able to get the ball to Draymond, and then he's able to initiate like a 4-on-3 situation where they put two players in the corners for threes, and then they have one man, like another big, usually Bogut or Looney. Well, he's not going to be in the series now, but they have Looney or Bogut going to the rim. So Draymond has to make a decision. Does he go to the rim himself? Does he lob it for Bogut, or does he kick it out to one of the three-point shooters in the corner? And it's really putting the Raps at a disadvantage, and Draymond's shown that he's been able to make those plays. So you can't have that situation where he's running a 4-on-3 when you're trapping Steph. And that happened too often. Like, I'm okay with trapping Steph occasionally, but I think you're making it too easy for Golden State to get easy buckets.
I think that Toronto can still do both. I mean, game one showed that their half-court defense is incredible. I think Golden State only scored like 86 points for 100 possessions overall in the half-court, which is around the same number as what they held Milwaukee to. Last game, I think it was more so about Toronto just losing guys off the ball on defense. I don't even think it was much of the 4-on-3 stuff. I think it was just more so like Kawhi getting lost when Andre Iguodala comes off of a screen, then Draymond cutting backdoor. There was a couple plays like that where Draymond got really easy baskets. So I don't know. I think Toronto's defensive intensity it lowered in the second half for whatever reason. I think when you're not scoring, that definitely doesn't help as well. But I think Toronto just overall, like their head wasn't it in the third quarter. And even in the early fourth, like it wasn't working until they decided to play like a weird box and one defense, which actually worked somehow. And Golden State went scoreless for like 5 minutes in the last few minutes of the game until Andre hit that shot.
Yeah, what is the box and one? What is that?
It means you're guarding Steph with one player and you're basically trying to avoid him getting the ball. But the other four players create a box around the paint. So you have two guys at like the lower part of the paint near the basket.
Right.
And you have two guys at the free throw line. And wherever the ball goes, the player closest to the ball will go to that person.
So you're basically playing the zone with four guys and then one man.
Exactly.
It's a man zone defense. They had an article about it on the Score.
Yeah.
Showing kind of how they were doing it, but
it's like a high school defense.
Yeah, it kind of
is. And it works. I mean, if you can hold Golden State scoreless for that long, I mean, keep running it. Especially if Clay's not on the court.
You just need Van Vliet to do it instead of Lowry, or else he's going to pick up 5 fouls in like the first quarter.
That's the other issue that Toronto's had. I mean, Kyle Lowry keeps picking up these stupid fouls, but I think the biggest key for Toronto is Gasol. I think when he plays well and he plays aggressively, like Toronto is a really tough team to beat. And it seems like every second game, both him and Lowry just stop being aggressive and stop shooting the ball, but him especially.
Lowry was trash in the first game, too. No one's talking about it because they won, but he wasn't very good. Let's be real.
No, on offense, he was still, like, even though he was 1-for-7 until he hit that three late in the game, like, he was still getting into the paint and, like, moving the ball along to get other players' advantages, you know? Like, he wasn't that bad on offense, and defensively, he was amazing. But yesterday, he wasn't really doing as much on defense. He wasn't, he had the charge early in the game, but he wasn't as active on defense. And Danny Green was obviously a disaster last game, even though he was pretty good in game one. So you just need a more consistent effort, you know?
I love that people think Danny Green is back because he had one decent shooting game.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, he hit 2 threes. Danny Green is back. Not really. Danny Green's trying to post up Steph. That's an awful idea.
Yeah.
And the less time that Danny Green spends actually with the ball in his hands, the better the Raptors' offense is. Like, he's a great catch-and-shoot guy, and I think he ends up being stagnant a lot on offense with a lot of the Raptors' offense ending up playing ISO with, like, 10 seconds left on the shot clock. And I think that's where they need Lowry more. I think they need his penetration going into the paint, getting some help defense, and then kicking it out to the open man. That's what they were really missing.
Yeah. Instead, like, you had Gasolis not doing anything on the outside, just standing on the perimeter staring at people instead.
Yeah, and he wouldn't even take a look up to the basket. Like, I remember at the fourth, like, I was watching the game, and I think he got the ball, like, 6 or 7 times, like, late in the game, and he wouldn't even take a look at the rim. Like, he was getting it at the three-point line and immediately looking to pass, which is fine, but you have to be at least a threat to go to the rim, yeah, or else the defense can really, like, play off you and play the pass and play the numbers game.
Yeah, this is it's really sad, but it's true. They have a lot of for a team with so many veteran players that people always like talk about how much they love. These guys like cool out of games pretty easily. Mm-hmm. Between Lowry, Gasol, Green, obviously Ibaka shows up for like half the games too.
Yeah,
Ibaka. Not, like the only guys who are consistent so far, like Van Vliet and Powell.
Yeah,
what is this?
That's another point that I think it's been glossed over by the other like media sources is Ibaka's actually had a very poor series in the last two games. Like, he's been nowhere to be found. Like, he's picking up rebounds, which is great, but offensively, he just seems out of it. He doesn't really find good spacing on the court. And compared to kind of how he played in the later half of the Milwaukee season, like, this is a completely different player, and they're going to need his minutes just because Gasol got into foul trouble, and especially with DeMarcus Cousins coming back. They just need another body to throw at them, and his depth is really appreciated by the Raptors because, like, him and Gasol really make up the Raptors' front court with Siakam. So I think he has to show up for the Raptors to have a chance. I know we're going to get into predictions later, but it's not panicking or worrying situation for the Raptors, but it's getting close to there just because that game got away.
Yeah. On the other hand, you have to show some love to Golden State, too. But the guys like Quinn Cook dropping 2 back-to-back threes to like to stop any run that Toronto had, that was incredible. His shooting was insane.
Yeah, at the same time, he only had 9 points, but they were pretty important.
Whatever. They were all crucial threes.
Yeah, it's a problem, though, going into Oakland. The role players for Golden State are going to play better, or you'd think anyway. And I think the biggest key to the game last game, I think, was also Gasol getting those 4 fouls. Even though he didn't play well offensively, he was still really good on defense. And him sitting for, I think it was 7 or 8 straight minutes, really hurt Toronto, even though Toronto made a bit of a run earlier in the fourth quarter, just as he was coming in the game. But some of those moving picks were just nonsensical, even in the second half. Like, I think he had 3 fouls out of the 4 that were moving picks. He barely even clipped the guy, first of all, and he wasn't moving either. It was just hard to watch. You know, getting back to Golden State, you know, they have a lot of things going for them as well. But at the same time, they have an injured Andre Iguodala. We don't even know if Clay is going to play. He's questionable now.
Yeah.
And he's, even if he does play, he's not going to be running around those picks. And then their offense shouldn't work as well if he's not one of the guys moving off the ball. And who knows if Boogie's going to show up again with Kevon Looney out. Who are they going to trust behind Boogie? They have a lot of question marks going in the next game.
They have a lot of injuries. Yo, how ironic is it that Klay actually hurt himself trying to draw an offensive foul. That one move that everyone in the league hates where you like try to spread your legs and like draw the foul as a shooter. Like, yeah, the one time he does it, he actually gets hurt doing it.
Yeah, he tried to kick out. I'm not sure against who it was necessarily, but he's trying Danny. To kick out.
Yeah, it was Danny.
Yeah.
So stupid, man. That's like the worst offensive play you can make.
So, no, that first half of the refereeing was like a microcosm of what the NBA has to fix, because they had a few plays where like Steph has a guy behind him and he's about to shoot from the 3-point line and Steph jumps backwards into that player and gets the call. And then you had the Draymond play where he's running up the court and he pulls the Chris Paul play where he stops because he knows Kawhi's behind him, lets Kawhi hit him, and then he jumps forward for the flop. And then there was another play where I'm not sure who it was, but, you know, just drawing another shooting foul where they're jumping to the side in order to gain contact. Like, those three plays, they just got to clean that up and just stop calling them.
Yeah, like, whatsoever.
Yeah.
Or call an offensive foul.
That's the extreme,
right? Yeah, like, you're just running into a defensive player.
Yeah.
That one that you're talking about, Josh, was, like, was Stephen Pascal Siakam.
Yeah.
When he just, like, jumped to the side into him. Like, what? Like, how is that a foul on Pascal of all people? Who's just running back on defense? Yeah. It's that same thing that Chris Paul does when you're just, like, dribbling up the court and you just stop it for no reason.
Yeah, and you know the person's behind you and they're going to, like, their momentum's going to run you over, but, like...
Exactly.
Yeah, I think the Raps, like, I kind of want to ask Josh in, like, 1 minute or less, like, what are the three keys to the game for the Raptors to pull out a victory in Oakland?
I think the first one is Gasol being more aggressive and taking more than 10 shots. And if he doesn't, you make him take wind sprints after the game.
What's the second key?
That somehow, you know?
He needs that Mamba mentality. He's got to shoot at 2 a.m.
Like, he's got the dad belly already. But if you want to work that thing off, you know, you tell him, you're going to work that thing off after the game if you don't take at least 10 shots and at least, like, 6 3-point shots.
What about the second and third keys to the game?
I think the second key is just the defensive intensity needs to last for 48 minutes, which is easier said than done. I think cutting off all those backdoor cuts and being more aware on defense and keeping Kawhi away from the ball, just having him as a roamer, like keep him on Iguodala like he did in game one. That's the second key. I don't think he should be around Draymond at all around the ball because he gave up a couple of
steps
to look freeze too. And the third key is just offensively getting Kyle Lowry more involved as well. I think Lowry and Gasol are the biggest keys in the series for the Raptors. And, you know, they're flipping off the entire game in this game. And I think a lot of that is like their pick and roll game. I just
is this guy talking through a straw?
Yeah, what is this? Are you in a different room?
You can't hear me?
No,
dude, your quality just, like, died.
Yeah, it's like you're walking further away from the phone.
I'm still here.
Oh, there it is. There's a blip of it.
All right, I'll hold the phone closer. I don't know. Anyways, yeah, I think the two keys on offense are Gasol and Lowry and getting their pick-and-roll game going outside of Kawhi and just getting their flow offense back.
Oh, there it is. Now he's gone forever.
Yeah, no, I think he's resetting the call. But yeah, I just want to build off that. I think Golden State, the three keys to victory are they just need to make sure that they're moving the ball and not relying too much on Steph, especially with these injuries. I think that when they moved the ball around and got easy looks for their role players did show up in Toronto and they had two good games, I'd say, and I expect them to have a bigger game in game 3 and 4. I think that they need to keep doubling Kawhi because it seems to be really bothering him and trapping him and kind of making him into a passer. I think like that really kind of stifled the Raptors' offense, and they did a very good job. And lastly, I think they need to use DeMarcus a little more inside because it kind of makes Gasol play a little more defense and keeps him honest. And you can get him to foul trouble, and I think Josh mentioned like he's a key anchor on their defense. So Ibaka's shown really a big drop off in production this series. So if they can get Gasol out of the game or in foul trouble, he plays like a different style.
Yeah, that's a really good call. Using DeMarcus as like your point forward is a great idea. Between him and Draymond, they have two of the best passing big men in the league, right? Mm-hmm. Yep. Not the best two, but like they're both up there.
Yeah,
and DeMarcus's passing has always been underrated.
Yeah, great playmaking.
So what do you think happens for game three?
If you're asking me, I think Golden State. I think there's going to be one very close game in Oakland. I probably would say it's going to be the third game. I think it's going to be just as close as the second game. Just because they're at home and their role players are going to show up, and I don't expect the Raptors bench to play as well as they did in game one and two. I think Oakland pulls it out, but a very close win.
Okay. Josh, what do you think?
The Raptors win game three because Klay Thompson is not going to be right. And I think the role players are going to step up. I think Kyle Lowry always plays well in Oakland, and it's going to continue.
Yeah, I was going to say that too. Klay's health is the major key to this point. At this point, because if it's only Steph, then I think the Raptors' defense can hold on.
Yeah, but again, I think one thing the Raptors have to be like cautious about is like they need to really just prepare for the Golden State Warriors and like expect everyone's healthy and game plan for that. Because, of course, like, he is coming off an injury and he won't be 100%. But as we saw, like, he was on fire in the first quarter and it didn't look like it was that much effort on his end. Like, he was just hitting everything he made. And if you kind of expect that he's not going to be healthy and DeMarcus is not going to be a factor, like, DeMarcus had a very standout game in game two. And I don't think most Raptors fans expected that, for him to play that many minutes, to almost have a triple-double. And be very productive. Like, he was grabbing all the boards at the fourth, and he was probably one of the X factors in that game.
Yeah, Golden State didn't even expect that, though.
Yeah.
That Looney injury might be a blessing in disguise for DeMarcus right now.
Yeah, it might be.
Could be their downfall in having to play him that many minutes, because eventually Toronto's going to figure it out and do what they did in the first quarter and just keep attacking him. And then you got nobody behind him.
But why did they stop? That's the question. Like, why did the Raps stop? Yeah, but why did they stop going to the rim? Like, in the third quarter, I think they took zero shots inside the paint, or maybe one jumper in that 18-0 run. Like, one shot in the paint.
It's because Marcus all picked up, like, two or three moving screen fouls. And that sort of just ruined everything going against DeMarcus, right? Nurse should have put in Ibaka much earlier than he actually did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then that could have solved the issue, but he didn't. And that's what happens.
Also, just going back, I think the refs kind of looked at that screen that he put on Iguodala where he hurt his head, which was a perfectly legal screen. And then it seemed like the refs were just paying a lot more attention to Marc Gasol's screens after that point, because he picked up those three fouls like almost on like consecutive plays in 1 minute, all on screens, all in the third. So a lot of reactionary reffing there, or officiating, but... I'm going to say, I think, like, going back to Toronto, I don't see the Raptors winning a game. I think it's going to be 3-1 going back to Toronto, and it'll be a great situation.
Yeah, this is perfect. This is like Paul Pierce predicting the Raptors are going to lose. I'm so happy right now. Now the Raptors are going to go back to Toronto 3-1. It's going to be great.
Catching that bet, Josh.
I'm going.
All right, I think that's all the time we've got for today. When's the game? Wednesday night? Wednesday
tomorrow.
9 p.m. Eastern time.
When's game four? Saturday?
Friday. Like, between games three and four, that's the only time where there's only one day in between. So it should be interesting. Nice. What that affects more.
Nice. Well, I'll be up at 2 a.m. here watching these games. So that'll be great. Anyways, I'd like to thank everyone for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe. And remember, our audio will not be this poor going forward. We will be getting it better.
To the train operator.
This is just great. My god. I'm just gonna wait for this to finish. Let the man have his voice, you know? Oh my god. Anyways, thanks everyone for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe. Find us at Stretch4Pod on Instagram and Twitter. I guarantee you the sound quality will be a lot better going forward. This is a once-in-a-while situation. It's not the regular occurrence. So enjoy these games in the finals, and until next time, peace.